Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, now powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is reimagining multifamily revenue management. Joining me by phone is a multifamily industry veteran and someone who I call the godfather of multifamily pricing and revenue management, the fabulous Donald Davidoff, the CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics. Also joining the conversation is Brad Schell, the product manager with Real Estate Business Analytics. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Paul. Hello. Happy to be here.
I'll start with you, Donald. I mean, talk about a little bit about the history of pricing revenue management as it applies to the multifamily industry and some of the legal challenges that if people have been paying attention, they've been hearing about.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, revenue management's been around for almost 24 years now. In fact, I've been involved since 1999. That's when I started the project that led to LRO being built for Archstone Communities, those who remember Archstone. That started in 1999. The very first property went live. It was Hunter's Run in Austin, Texas, a little trivia point there, back in February of 2001. And it rolled out to maybe 8 to 10 companies between 2001 and about 2010. That's between LRO and then YieldStar came along after that. And kind of between middle of 2006 and call it 2010, 2011 is just when it was rapid growth. And by the time 2010-11 rolled around, you know, pretty much everyone in the NMHC top 50 and many, many other companies were using, you know, one of the commercially available software products. In terms of the second part of your question, you know, obviously, after being rather settled for a long time, there's a whole lot going on in the last couple of years, both on the litigation side and on the legislative side. I think it's really important to understand the different threads. So on the legal side, there's three different things that were going on. The easiest to understand is the Department of Justice criminal investigation. That's easy to understand because a few weeks ago they announced that they were terminating that. You know, a few people, hallelujah, it's over, not so fast. The bar for a criminal conviction is much, much higher than a civil complaint. And so I think it's very important that, the DOJ criminal investigation ended, but I would caution folks not to read too much into that. The two other threads going on, the Department of Justice has filed an actual civil complaint. So it's not just an investigation, it is filed in a court. You know, there's speculation whether the new administration will end that. I'm not an attorney, I'm far from an expert on this, but I'm told that it's fairly unusual, not that Trump ever, you know, pays attention to what's unusual or not, so who knows, but it is fairly unusual for DOJ to halt a filing that's been in process. And then, of course, even if they do that, there's the civil class action plaintiff lawsuit, the consolidated lawsuit in Middle Tennessee. And, you know, that should go into discovery sometime pretty soon. And, you know, that's going to have most likely a pretty long life of its own. On the legislative side, it's actually less sexy, but it's probably more impactful in the long term because, you know, the legal side will work itself out. Usually it's about money changing hands, you know, whatever. But the legislative side, it is going to set rules that everybody has to live by. You know, at the federal level, Senator Wyden introduced a bill in the last Congress. In the Senate, it had no chance of passing. It certainly won't have any chance with the Republican Senate now. Also, I think it was Representative Maxine Waters sent a letter to GOA asking for an investigation, not likely to go anywhere with the Republican administration. But then there were state attempts, like Colorado, a bill passed the House and only failed in the Colorado Senate by one vote. New York and New Jersey and some other states have been trying. And then interestingly, the city level is where the most has occurred. The cities of San Francisco and Philadelphia have actually passed laws that limit the type of algorithmic pricing that can be done. Now, here's the last bit that I want to just be careful for listeners to really understand is if you pay attention to the title of these bills, I have learned that the title of bills is the legislative equivalent of clickbait. It's very provocative and very scary. And then when you click on it, it's not nearly what it said it was underneath. So the titles of these bills make it sound like algorithmic pricing is going to get outlawed. But if you read the detail, all they're saying is that algorithmic pricing using non-public competitor data is illegal in the city of San Francisco and the city of Philadelphia. And it's what the state and federal government are trying to do, et cetera. There is a very well-funded private enterprise, the American Economics Liberty Project, that is behind a lot of this. So this is not going away. But I would caution, you know, listeners to really pay attention to details. I know it's not sexy. I know it's grungy. But when you read the detail, it's actually a very narrow thing that the legislators are going after right now.
How's the industry reacting to the litigation?
You know, obviously this is a topic we talk about very often. You know, every time we're talking with clients and demos or what have you, you know, these things come up, and we've obviously got a variety of different reactions, overreactions and underreactions from the people we speak with. And the most common ones we obviously see today are, you know, people are looking to switch systems. Many are moving to, you know, more contemporary systems, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on in the episode, but that's the first reaction. We also see people that are freezing, you know, fearful of the optics of changing the system, worried what people might think if they switch systems, if it will make them look guilty and whatever. And so, you know, fortunately, the number of attorneys that we've spoken with about this have told us that this is a misperception. You know, we are still allowed to run our businesses as we see fit, and we can make decisions to change software, you know, when better solutions come along. We do also see people looking to build their own. You know, a very few number of people that we tend to look at say, hey, well, how hard can this be? We can build our own system. You know, I can certainly understand why that's alluring. I've actually done that myself at a prior company that I was with prior to Reba here. But I can be the first to tell you that it always looks easier on the onset, and it always looks less expensive than it's really going to be. You're completely responsible for any of the support or IT on it. If anything goes wrong, you're the one that has to fix it all. And so I understand the allure there, but I think the costs are severely underestimated at the offset. And then we do see people also looking to do manual pricing. So people would, you know, not use any system at all. And again, we kind of understand that as the, you know, immediate reaction to this, which is let's just get off anything. Let's do this. Let's look at the data that we have, and let's just make our decisions ad hoc on where we think we need to move pricing. And, you know, we've seen on numerous tests over the years that automated pricing does outperform manual pricing by at least 2%. And we've seen it as high as 5 to 8%. So we think that most folks that end up going this direction will end up returning to the, you know, the contemporary approaches, the pricing systems over time.
The interesting thing, Paul, that we've also seen is, you know, the legacy systems, they haven't really been materially enhanced in 20 years. That's been true for a while, but the success everyone felt during the bull markets of 2010 through 2022, right? Think about those years. It was, you know, 4 to 5% rent growth from 10 to 17 or 18. There was a brief blip for a couple months in COVID, but then post-COVID was when we had the double-digit rent growth. So I think that kind of success allowed executives to focus on other priorities. These relatively new legal and legislative issues, coupled with the current challenging rent growth environment, they really seem to have stimulated executives to take a deeper look at their pricing and revenue management platforms. So, you know, there's an openness to look at alternatives that just hasn't been around in a long, long time.
All right, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages with more of this episode. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of reimagining multifamily revenue management. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a multifamily industry veteran and someone who I call the godfather of multifamily pricing and revenue management, the terrific Donald Davidoff, the CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics. And also joining the conversation is Brad Schell, the product manager with Real Estate Business Analytics. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Donald, in the first segment, we discussed the litigation as well as the legislation coming down the pike, and that's all based on competitor data, the potential colluding of competitors to set prices. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about why that role has been there and important, and what other alternatives there are.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really been a fascinating journey, you know, since 1999 and to watch how the industry's evolved. You know, the reality is that the industry has over-indexed on comp data for a long, long time. And that bias has, you know, worked its way into the legacy systems and perhaps even more importantly, how vendors promoted their products, right? So you see vendors touting what their competitive database is, et cetera. And as I think we'll talk about in a little bit, you know, you really don't need that. The other challenge with using competitive data in any meaningful way is that there are so many different ways in which you can have issues with the comp data. So first thing is even the collection methods, right? For many, many years, people did call arounds. I'll tell you yours if you tell me mine. Technically, again, I'm not an attorney, but my understanding of the law, technically, there's nothing illegal about that. But you actually run the risk of somebody either inadvertently or ignorantly actually crossing a line. So, for example, if I called you at your property, Paul, and asked you what you're releasing one bedrooms at, and you told me, you know, $1,645, and I just reacted, oh, that's all? Well, guess what? I just crossed a line because maybe I'm trying to nudge you to change, you know, to change your price, and that would clearly not be good. So in some ways, there's a blessing in disguise with what's going on, because I think pretty much everybody has stopped the call around. And, you know, with today's internet and all the prices out on the internet, you don't really need to call around. But even with the internet, there are accuracy, timeliness, and context issues. So accuracy, I mean, if anybody doesn't believe me that there's an accuracy issue with the pricing out there, go to three or four different ILS sites and the property's own site and look up pricing. And I will be shocked that if you check out at least four websites that you don't see two to four different prices for the same apartment. There's a lot of different reasons that can happen. One of them is a timeliness issue. Different websites get updated at different times. And since most of the major companies are using dynamic pricing, prices can and often do change on a daily basis. So timing can cause different websites to have different prices. And then there's what I was referring to as context, which is the sales mix. So, you know, back when I was at Archstone, we learned very quickly, particularly in central business districts in urban areas. Manhattan was the first place we learned it, but it was true in San Francisco, LA, et cetera. You could see a price change. Say the cheapest one bedroom at my competitor in Midtown Manhattan suddenly changes by $300 one day to the next. You go, wow, did they raise the price $300 or lower the price $300? Well, no, actually what happened was the cheapest price yesterday was on the second floor. It got rented. The cheapest available unit today is on the 21st floor. So it's got floor premium. It's got a great view, et cetera. And it turns out that that starting at price changing $300 has nothing to do with the underlying pricing behavior. It just has to do with the sales mix, what's available, when and where, particularly with highly unit amenitized homes. The impact is less in a suburban garden community where it's not as amenitized, but it's still true there. A $25, $35, $40 switch or change one day to the next could just be about the sales mix. So lots of reasons why trying to be very precise with pricing and relying on comp data probably never was a good idea.
So if you don't have comp data, what data do you have?
Yeah, so really, you know, the core of a good PRM system is looking at internal first-party data only. Mm. And there's a couple main benefits of that. Number one, you know it's accurate, right? It's your own data. You have access to it. You know it's up to date, and it's what you have currently in your system. And that should tell you really all you need to know about what you need to do with your pricing movements. Now, for example, let's say that I used my own first-party internal data, and I saw that my leasing velocity was slowing, my availability was starting to rise. Well, any good algorithm will see that and will start to reduce your prices. Now, that could very well be because you were priced well above your competitors. So the algorithm will be working day to day to get you to a place where the market's going to accept that pricing. Now, in the reverse, right, if you were priced really far below your competitors, your leasing velocity is going to go through the roof, your availability will drop, and your pricing will start to rise and get you more in alignment with where you should be in the market. So any well-designed system, you'll see that happens very quickly. And we're talking days, not waiting weeks or months to see those changes, right? So at the core, revenue management, it's not about price appraisal. It's not about just matching the comp prices out there in the world. And if it was a pure commodity, then maybe it would be okay. But in an environment where you want to capitalize on how well your team is performing, for instance, that absolutely has an impact on the performance of your properties. You want to be able to capitalize on those things. And so just looking at those comp prices puts it into this commoditized situation, and that's really not reality as we see it out there in the world with operations. And, you know, at best, when you're looking at those comp prices online, that's really only giving you a look in the rearview mirror. That's only looking at the past. Good revenue management systems will be about predicting where that demand and supply is now, where that supply and demand is in the future, and pricing accordingly. You know, it's we do talk about this quite often. We talk about this with clients all the time, but it's that old Wayne Gretzky adage of, comp-based prices are where the puck is, but more modern predictive analytics PRM platforms are where the puck is going to be. And so that's where, that's where we want to be.
I'm just speculating now, but, being in the industry for as long as I have been, which is just code for God, I've gotten old. but after 25 years, I do think that maybe part of why the industry tends to over-index on competitor data is, at our core, we are a balance sheet business, right? The deal guys really do rule the day. And if you're trying to understand whether to buy a property or whether to develop a property in a place, an appraisal approach to understand what the market is likely to bear in the current and very long term makes a lot of sense, and comp data matters, but it also doesn't have to be quite as precise. It just needs to be good enough to build a decent pro forma. With revenue management, as Brad was saying, right, predictive analytics to go, well, where is my demand and supply going to be a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now? And since I have limited capacity, when do I get to take advantage of demand being greater than supply to raise the rents? And where am I at risk when demand is less than supply, that once a night goes by, just like a hotel room, it's not worth anything, right? It's not it's not like a barrel of oil that the Saudis can keep in the ground and save for another day when they can charge more. If that, rental unit goes vacant tonight, I can never rent that night again. And so getting that level of precision on a very close-in time frame as the demand and supply rises and falls is very, very different than any kind of appraisal approach. The other thing I was going to mention is with Brad mentioning how important leasing velocity is. It's also why leads are such an important leading indicator, right? The legacy systems candidly focused mostly on leasing. And I think there's been a real opportunity to look at more upstream demand cues like leads, because you want to understand based on my current lead volume, not just how much of that I think is going to convert, but when is it going to convert, right? Because a lead I got yesterday has many, many days in the future to convert. A lead I got a month ago or 2 months ago probably has a pretty short shelf life now as to how much more likely it is to lease. So, using your own internal data gives you great insights into that. And on the supply side, it can also give you great insights into renewals, right? The likelihood to renew. If I have a better understanding of likelihood to renew, then I can improve my supply forecast. Because again, as Brad was describing, it's the balancing of supply and demand. It's not just about supply or just about demand. So really important to think about both those.
Just to add one little small thing, if you were even perfectly positioned against your comps today, but you knew that you had a cliff of expirations or a dirge of leasing activity potentially coming up, you would want to know how to change your pricing now to accommodate those things, like looking at those leads, that likelihood to renew, to really help you, solve problems before they actually become problems.
Paul, one thing I wanted to also mention is, it's always blown my mind, a well-run property, like 60% of the leases are renewals. And the industry really over-indexes on focusing on new lease pricing. You really want to get your renewal pricing right, because renewal pricing is more than half of your rent roll.
All right. Well, we will break it here. We're going to be back with much more about pricing and revenue management in this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data
to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Application fraud in multifamily is a major challenge we're all contending with today, and the risk is ever increasing, making it more important than ever to strive for driving delinquency to 0%. If you could eliminate the worst form of application fraud with just a few clicks, you would, right? With PayScore, accuracy is everything. By automating income verification, they deliver clear, concise, and 100% bank-verified income reports in minutes. No more doubts, delays, or fraud. Just the truth about applicant income. PayScore. Accurate, easy, safe. Visit PayScore.com and start verifying with confidence. PayScore. Click, verify, relax.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of reimagining multifamily revenue management. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a multifamily industry veteran and someone who I call the godfather of multifamily pricing and revenue management, the fantastic Donald Davidoff, the CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics. Also joining the conversation is Brad Schell, the product manager with Real Estate Business Analytics. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. So, Donald, we've talked a lot about competitor information. We touched a little bit on first-party information and data. What are those opportunities out there that you see today as far as solutions?
Yeah, it is a sort of funny but maybe sad truth that if a legacy system user from 2006 fell asleep and woke up today, she would be immediately able to operate the software pretty much the same as she did 19 years ago. Mm. You know, as the guy who led the team that developed the first such system back in 1999, you know, I don't mind admitting that in a lot of ways, we didn't know what we didn't know back then. So I think we did a great job for what we had at the time. But think about it for a moment, right? That's more than a quarter century ago, okay? If other industries evolved as little as rental housing PRM software has evolved, we'd still be buying CDs and DVDs. We'd only be watching cable television. We'd be using a flip phone to talk to people, and we'd have one of those old PDAs with a stylus, if you remember that.
Yeah.
So I'll give you this one example of some of the challenges and therefore the opportunities, and I'm sure we'll dive into some more. But just one example. The industry was always very property-centric. I think you could argue it still is very property-centric, but I think it really is moving to more of a portfolio frame of mind than in the past. But the result of how property and unit-centric it was back then was that the legacy systems were built in such a way that they only allowed pooling data within a property. So any of those legacy systems, if you have a small count, say three bedrooms, I've only got 8 3 bedrooms. Well, you're forced to either do all the statistics and pricing on 8 units, which that doesn't really work mathematically very well, or you can pool it with the 2 bedrooms. But any operator listening to the show knows that 3 bedroom units and 2 bedroom homes, those are very different businesses with different seasonalities, different renewal characteristics, et cetera. So blending them together kind of makes neither price quite right, or you just manually price the 3 bedrooms. Okay, but now I'm only using my revenue management system on, you know, 90% of my property instead of 100% of my property. There's an opportunity to rethink, right, reimagine the title of the show here, right, this episode. You can reimagine, like, well, if I have a portfolio, why don't I pool up all of my 3 bedrooms in Atlanta rather than having to pool them with 2 bedrooms in a single property? So just one example of how, you know, the legacy was built on the old paradigm, but there are opportunities to completely reimagine and get better results today.
Yeah, just to tag on to that, you know, the I was thinking about what you're talking about, Donald, because you're talking about obviously 1999, if they fell asleep 19 years ago, and like me thinking about the person, you know, I was 19 years ago, and if I were to take a, you know, jump into a time machine and go forward 19 or 25 years and come out, you know, I probably wouldn't like the fact that I hadn't changed in the last 19 years. So the you know, there's a ton of improvements looking at, you know, initially how it was built, and you know, no fault to the people who built them 19 years ago, but you know, they focused on the 80% of the business that made sense at that time, the conventional stuff, the you know, nothing with rent control, for instance. Everybody thinking concessions were going to go away. You know, you think about the legacy systems never really cared too much about the workflows and the total cost of ownership. So actually making the user more efficient in their day-to-day actions and the ability to configure concessions however people want to, even down to the unit level. Rent control, that's obviously a biggie as well. And that one's just going to continue to change, you know, with all indications as the years go on here. You've got lease ups, which conventionally a lot of people do not put on revenue management systems just because, you know, they require a certain type of history and they can't really be priced particularly well with those legacy systems. Renovations, obviously, is another one. You mentioned small unit counts. There's so many, you know, what I'll call quote unquote exceptions to the rule, but they're really not exceptions anymore. You know, almost every single client that we come across in a demo or in conversations, they all deal with at least one, if not all, of these situations. And so you really need a system today that can handle those and you know, not beholden to the way things have been done in the past, but really have a flexible interface, a flexible functionality enough to handle all these situations.
Yeah, and again, it's as I mentioned earlier, and Brad just said, you know, we did the best with what we could, knowing what we knew in 1999 and into 2000. You know, just think back then. You know, some of your listeners have been in the business long enough. There were very few rent controls in place then. I mean, rent control is maybe not ubiquitous now, but I would bet that the majority of portfolios out there have to deal with at least one flavor of rent control. And interestingly, rent control has even gotten more complex. There's, you know, there's traditional caps, there's, you know, emergency rent control. There's even process-oriented rent control, right? There are jurisdictions where residents who are there more than 3 years have to get notice further in advance. Or one of my favorites, and by favorite, I mean least favorites, is, oh, if you're going to raise the rent more than 10%, you need to give 90 days notice instead of 60 days notice or something like that, which I've seen a lot of people react to that. Well, we don't want to violate the law, so they just cap renewal increases at 9.9%. Well, you know, software could help you recognize those situations and make a change. You know, concessions. I still remember that concessions, everybody thought back in the early aughts that revenue management was going to get rid of concessions. Mm. Right? I remember in the 70s and 80s, computers were supposed to get rid of paper. How'd that work out? Right?
Yeah,
right. Not the same for concessions. So now approaching it, recognizing that after 20 plus years, concessions aren't going away, there's opportunities to build a system to be much more flexible with that and handle that. And then, of course, Brad mentioned other special situations like lease ups and renovations, et cetera.
We got about 2.5 minutes left, and I just have one question. Does it really work? Can you share some numbers?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We have a revenue management system called Reba Rent. We did a formal pilot head to head with a large public REIT and to look at the results from obviously both quantitative and qualitative factors. We had identified the properties ahead of time. That would be in the control group and the test group. And we ran them for about 6 months. And what we saw was an average reduced availability on properties on Reba Rent versus properties on the legacy system was LRO that was being used at the time. So 7% versus 9% that was on LRO. We saw about a 2.4% increase in occupancy on the pilot group versus only about a 1.37% increase on the control group. And then higher revenue per unit is also what we saw. So about $44 per unit increase on the Reba Rent properties compared to just $24 per unit on the control group. And then just from a qualitative perspective, you know, the revenue managers that we were working with had a team of four individuals that were administering the pricing, and they reported that they saved about 30% of their time using Reba Rent, and that was specifically attributed to some of the new functionality around alerting, the alerts dashboard, which was essentially, it's a screen in the UI of Reba Rent where we draw people's attention to the things that need their attention. So they set up these alert thresholds and allows them to pay attention to the things that actually need help, that need attention, and they don't have to look at everything all the time. So the revenue managers also did report about a 30% increase in their efficiency.
So we talked earlier about how using leads gives you an earlier cue of demand and really focusing on leasing velocity, leases per week, to help make the forecast better. When we dug into kind of, okay, why was the performance a little bit better with this contemporary system as opposed to the legacy system, most of it had to do with how much more quickly the system is responding to changes in the lead volume, changes in these demand and supply cues. So that kind of proved out the thesis that, after 25 years, there ought to be some ways to improve on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Control Ynet provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Ynet only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of reimagining multifamily revenue management. I'm Paul Markstrom. By phone is a multifamily industry veteran and someone who I call the godfather of multifamily pricing and revenue management, the awesome Donald Davidoff, the CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics. Also joining the conversation is Brad Schell, the product manager with Real Estate Business Analytics. I do want to thank a few more of our sponsors who make Multifamily Matters possible. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So in the last segment, Donald, Brad was listing some numbers and percentages of the pilots that were done and the comparisons, and they seem kind of small in percentage wise, but when you put that against a good sized portfolio, I would imagine that adds up to a lot in revenue.
Yeah, Paul, you're absolutely right. I mean, first of all, you know, 7% availability instead of 9. Okay, that sounds like, well, that's only 2%. Well, no, that's 20% lower available on a raw number. And if you just do some quick back of the envelope math, like we were talking about a decent sized publicly traded portfolio, 30,000 units. And I think Brad quoted a number like $40. Well, let's even just use $10, right? $10 a month on 30,000 units is $300,000 a month. That's $3.6 million a year. And on a six cap, that's $60 million of enterprise value. Mm. So one of the things I've always focused on with operating teams is, you know, the deal guys may get the sunshine and it may seem small, but a simple, you know, a $1 change is $6 million of value on a 30,000 unit portfolio. A $10 change is $60 million worth of value. So it's the cap rate multiple that really makes this powerful.
All right. Let's jump into a little bit about the takeaways and next steps for pricing revenue management. What do you see?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we have the opportunity to put 25 plus years of learning to use. You know, we brought together a product advisory team of 10 or 11 of the top revenue management users and asked them, you know, what about your software and your processes do you never want to lose? Because if you're trying to reimagine things, you run the risk of accidentally taking away something that people used to have, and you don't want to do that, right? But then we also ask the question, of course, where do you have frustrations? Where could things be better? And, you know, that's the opportunity to truly reimagine revenue management as long as you don't lose the things people love. So a few of the things that came up, Brad alluded to this earlier, reducing total cost of ownership, right? The sort of clunky workflows, and look, I led the team that built one of them, and we did the best we could, as I said earlier, with what we knew. But after 25 years, we've learned a lot more about how people actually use the system. And so there are opportunities to reimagine the workflow, improve efficiencies 20, 30, 40%, and therefore reduce total cost of ownership. Another one is to increase transparency. I think if you talk to any operator or revenue manager about where their biggest angst are around rental housing pricing and revenue management, it's systems that feel like a black box, right? I'm a community manager. I'm bonused on my performance versus budget, and yet I'm forced to use this system that I don't really fully understand why it's doing what it's doing. And even if I trust it, or I'm told to trust it, you know, at the end of the day, I'm human. I want to control my own destiny. I want to make my bonus or miss my bonus on my efforts, not on somebody else's. So we heard a lot about the lack of transparency. So there's an opportunity to reimagine revenue management as a much more transparent activity where a community manager, a regional manager, even a leasing associate can easily and quickly understand exactly why the recommendation is what it is. And that, you know, that makes everybody feel better about it, and it reduces the amount of work that pricing revenue managers have to do to sort of, air quotes, sell the system. There's a chance to reimagine all those special cases we talked about earlier, right? Why shouldn't revenue management be able to be used on lease-ups, on renovations, on small count unit types, et cetera? Those all have opportunities to be better than, you know, than the foibles of human manual pricing. So we just need to reimagine how to do that. And then there's an opportunity to reimagine our processes. One of the cool things that we did back at Rainmaker was to analyze the range of parameter settings so that we could better understand different pricing strategies. You know, I'm a big believer, Brad is also a big believer, our whole company, you know, believes that software should fit operator's strategy, an owner's strategy, not force the owner operator to fit the software strategy. So what's interesting then is if you let a lot of smart people get trained on how to do that, and then they go implement these different parameters to create different algorithms to do their different, you know, to implement their different strategies, you can actually do a bottoms-up analysis, no preconceived notion, look at all the different settings that are out there, and using a statistical process known as cluster analysis, you can find out how many and what type of clusters of parameter settings there are. And we actually found that there were five. There were basically five different archetypes of pricing. There's, you know, the balanced pricer trying to balance demand and supply, balance occupancy and price. There are those who want to drive rent, right? They're trying to drive up the rent roll. Maybe they're going to sell the property or whatever. There are, you know, occupancy defenders, and then the uber occupancy defenders that are like allergic to any vacancy. And then there's a fifth one around lease-ups. And so once you understand those different processes and those different strategies, you can start to design a system to specifically and explicitly support each of those. So that's another opportunity. We can reimagine it because we actually know how it's being used after 25 years. Back in 1999, we didn't know how it was going to be used. We were guessing as best we could.
We've got about 3 minutes left before I want to transition out of the topic. So let's talk a little bit about the industry challenges.
So we, you know, we really think it's wise, given the current environment, that that every executive, whether or not you're with an owner operator, you know, capital group, fee manager, really should be thinking about what you want in your pricing platform and really how to manage the risk that comes along with that. And I think the good thing about what we're seeing now is kind of that original shock of the lawsuit and the legislative environments that have now settled into a more sober and better understanding of the underlying issues around revenue management. And honestly, that's why we're seeing a massive uptick in the velocity of, you know, sales activity of people moving revenue management systems. And, you know, as we mentioned before, each of these multifamily companies have their own unique challenges. They have, you know, all these special cases they have to deal with. And to be honest, you know, if we got 10 executives into a room together, and we would never do this because of, you know, legislative environment, but if we did this, you would get 10 different strategies, 10 different goals. Everybody has different strategies, different goals they want to be able, in good conscience and good faith, to go and pursue. And again, we, you know, as Donald mentioned before, we use that phrase a lot. You know, we want the software to fit the operator strategy like a glove and not force the operator to do what the system thinks, right? So you want a system that's flexible enough to be able to handle those specific situations and to give that power into the operators, the owner's hands, so they can do what they need to do for their businesses. And so when they're going out and looking at these systems, you know, they really want to focus on the features and the functionalities that that matter to them.
And before we go to the end, the last thing I'll really point out, especially to any executives listening, is one of the interesting things we've seen is the opportunity for improved total cost of ownership. We talked a little bit about that. Candidly, we have not found executives asking a lot about that. It's a bit surprising to me, given the relatively low NOI growth environment we're in. You think people would chase pennies on both the revenue and the cost side. you know, perhaps everyone's just so used to the legacy workflows, they don't even think about it. But I would add, we think it's wise for execs to consider not only the software license fee, but also what the workflows mean to both their total cost to operate a system and even the quality of life of their revenue managers.
Yeah, and that is important. I'm not sure why they don't think about that. But I'll tell you what, let's transition. I want to give you a chance to let the folks who are not familiar with Real Estate Business Analytics, or REBA, to tell a little bit about it and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, so Real Estate Business Analytics, we provide what we refer to as a connected analytics platform. So it's a way to connect data from multiple systems of record, PMS, CRM, HRIS, surveys, et cetera, right? All the different systems of data, bring it into one single source of truth to allow through our BI platform for people to make better decisions faster. Then once you have all that data in one place, you can create predictive analytics applications. So for example, REBA Budget is a driver-based, database-driven property budgeting and forecasting system. I think 65% of the industry still does their budgeting in Excel. You know, if you've got 80 properties, that's 80 workbooks. Excel is not an enterprise solution, so we think it's better to have an enterprise solution for budgeting. And then, of course, REBA Rent that we've talked about. And then a fourth product, REBA Amenities, which helps you make sure that your amenity tags at the unit level are correct and based on a statistical analysis of leasing velocity, you know, determine whether those unit amenity prices are optimal, analogous to the way the REBA Rent helps you get, you know, your base rent optimal. So all three things, connecting systems, connecting people, and making better decisions faster.
We've got about a minute left, so why don't each of you tell everybody in our audience how they could reach out to you if they had some questions.
Sure. First initial, last name at GetREBA.com. So Dean Davidoff at GetREBA.com. The website, REBA.com, does belong to a very famous REBA. So our website is GetREBA.com. Obviously, you can get me on LinkedIn as well. Love to hear from you.
Brad, how about you?
Yeah, same here. So okay. First initial, last name, B. Shell at GetREBA.com. And certainly, you know, the GetREBA website's a great repository of all the resources, blog posts, everything that we do.
All right. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Donald, always great to have you on the show. And we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.